Again, it is great to join you for Kickoff Sunday. I look forward to the service every year, not just because we get to wear jerseys, but because I love the energy. I love the energy the service brings. It's on a different level. If we could bring this energy into every Sunday morning, that would be phenomenal. Maybe that's another goal for this year. But as I shared earlier, I played soccer for a number of years, and in the later years, I became the starting goalkeeper for my team. I traveled for a season with a regional team all across Ontario playing, and then following a career-ending injury, I switched to coaching, and I coached for a while and then was asked to join as a goalkeeper coach for an all-star regional team as well. And one thing I've learned quite quickly from being a goalkeeper is that the game looks very different from standing between the posts than it does on the field. Because you have to constantly watch what's going on. You're reading what's happening. You're communicating with your players. You're anticipating what's going to happen. And you got to make split-second decisions. But you're still part of the team. Now, in past Kickoff Sundays, Pastor Drew has shared from a football perspective, so I am sharing from the English football perspective today, because I can't tell you anything about the other game. But here is something else that I wanted to tell you about being a player on a soccer team, or even more as a coach, is that I don't become a goalkeeper by watching somebody else play. I could listen to my coach, I could understand the rules, I could learn the techniques, but eventually I had to get between the posts. You have to train, practice, make the mistakes, and learn. And eventually, I had to help someone else learn. And as I was thinking about that, I realized it's a pretty good picture of what discipleship looks like in the church. Because more often than not, I think we approach Christianity a little bit like spectators. We come to church on Sunday, we sing, we listen, we watch, and then we leave, and we don't come back till next Sunday. And we're ready to just repeat the same steps over and over, and we fall into this cycle. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't call us to sit in the stands. He didn't call us to sit on the bench. He called us to follow him. And that's what I want us to look at for the next few minutes and stress the importance of getting in the game. Now, our church went through a bit of a rebranding a few years ago, and we came up with this mission statement that we typically say at the start of most of our services, and it's this, that Sunnyside is a community of light and life for King and Kingdom. It's a beautiful statement, but what I want us to do is think more about what this statement means for us as a church to be intentional about discipleship, because I believe this vision statement gives us a picture of what discipleship with Jesus actually looks like. See, a disciple follows the king. A disciple receives the life that Jesus gives. A disciple lives as light in the community and wherever God has placed them. And a disciple makes disciples for the kingdom. Here's the important part. We aren't just called to become disciples. We are called to also make disciples. So as we kick off this new ministry year, I want us to ask, what does it actually mean to be a disciple? And what would happen if that became the scoreboard for everything that we did at Sunnyside? So let's look at four plays from our playbook that will help us do just that. The first is this: a disciple follows the king. If you go back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the book of Mark, Mark 1:16 and 17 says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. That's it. Two simple words. If you continue reading, he says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Continue on, Jesus calls James and John. It says, when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Notice what Jesus doesn't say when he's calling his first disciples. He doesn't say, hey, come listen to my weekly sermon. He doesn't say, come watch me. He says, follow me. See, discipleship often begins with following. And that means that discipleship isn't simply about believing certain things about Jesus. It's about surrendering ourselves to Jesus. Because we believe he is more than a teacher. He is our king. That's why our vision statement doesn't simply say we are a community of light and life for Jesus. It says that we are a community of light and life for king and kingdom. See, Jesus is our king. And if he is king, then discipleship means allowing him to lead our lives. He's the one that gets to tell us where to go. He gets to shape our priorities. He gets to shape our relationships or how we spend our time. He shows how we treat people, how we respond when we're hurt, or how we forgive and serve. Because here's the thing, you cannot follow Jesus while insisting that you remain your own king. And that's where being a soccer player comes back into our story. See, a player doesn't get to go on the field and decide, I'm going to make my own rules up today. Today, as the forward, I get to hold the ball. And I can carry that like a football and throw it in the other net. They don't get to do that. You've got to play according to your coach's directions and the rules of the game. And so following Jesus means saying this. It means saying, Jesus, you are king, and I want to follow you. So the first discipleship question I want us to ask ourselves as we kick off this new ministry year isn't, what ministry am I going to join this year? Instead, it's, am I actually following Jesus as I join a ministry, as I serve in a ministry? Here's the second play from our playbook. A disciple lives in the life of Jesus. Our statement says that we are a community of light and life. And those aren't just good words to put together. They're not just church language. They're actually deeply biblical. Go to John 10:10. It says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus didn't come to simply give us more information. He came to give us life. And the life Jesus gives isn't simply about existing, it's about being transformed, about becoming the people God has actually created us to be. And Paul describes this transformation that takes place in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. That's discipleship. Something is changing, something's becoming new. See, the goal isn't simply, I know more about Jesus. The goal is, I am becoming more like Jesus. That's why discipleship requires practice. When I was coaching goalkeepers, I could explain the technique to them. I could demonstrate it. I could tell them even what they were doing wrong. But eventually, they had to take ownership of it, and they had to actually practice it over and over. Because the goal wasn't for them to be able to come back and explain to me the technique behind it. The goal was it for to become part of who they were as a player. I think spiritual formation in our lives works in a similar way. Because we pray so we become people who depend on God. We read scripture so that God's truth begins to shape how we think. We worship so that our hearts are reoriented toward God. We serve so that we become people who put others before ourselves. We forgive because Jesus forgave us. We love because Jesus taught us to love. We give because Jesus teaches us generosity. And we practice these things because Jesus is forming us into the likeness of Christ. So as we launch into this new ministry year, we're asking a different question, not simply, did you attend? Not simply, did you volunteer? Not even, how many people came out to your ministry? Instead, we are asking this question, are we becoming more like Jesus? That's the scoreboard. The third play is this. A disciple lives as light wherever God has placed them. Again, another part of our vision statement, a community of light and life. This is also where I want us to rethink what it means to actually get in the game. Because here's the thing, when you're on a soccer team, there's 11 players, okay? We've got our 11 players on here, goalkeeper, defenders, midfielders, forwards. They all have a different role to play. Their position matters. Now, imagine the coach looks at the bench, points at you and says, you're going in. You're in the game. And you say, actually, coach, if it's all right with you, I'd rather just watch today. This is what happens. We're playing a man down. We're playing shorthanded. There's a gap. The coach called them to get in the game, but they decided to stay on the bench. Or imagine, if I'm the goalkeeper, the coach looks at me and says, you're the only goalkeeper we got today. You're going in. And I decided, you know what? I'd rather just stand over here and watch it happen. That's what our team looks like now. The net's wide open. No one else can touch the ball with their hand. How much more difficult is this going to be for our team to be successful? I'm not just a spectator. I signed up to be part of the team. My participation is going to affect everyone else. And that's one of the reasons I love the language of community in our church vision statement. Because we aren't simply a group of individuals who attend the same service. We are a community of light and life for King and Kingdom. And a community means we belong to one another. Paul describes it this way in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And he goes on to say this, "The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you." Every part matters. Every person matters. And when one part refuses to function, the whole body is affected. The same way when one person is off that team on the field, you're playing shorthanded. Now, I want to be careful here because getting in the game doesn't mean that every person has to sign up for another church program. It doesn't mean you have to fill every single night of your calendar. It doesn't mean that attending more things makes you a better Christian. See, the question isn't what program do I have to attend? The question is this, Jesus, where are you calling me to get in the game? For one person, that might look like joining a life group this year. For another, it might be serving in a ministry on Sunday morning. For another, it might even just be discipling your children at home. For another, it might be caring for a neighbor. For another, it might be being that person at work who listens and supports the coworkers, encourages and prays for them, and brings the presence of Jesus into their workplace. Because remember what Jesus said. He says in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say you're the light of this building here on the corner of Sunnyside and Grosvenor. He says you are the light of the world. Here's something I want us to recognize about Sunnyside. We were talking about this in our staff meeting. None of our staff live in this neighborhood. Most of you don't live in this neighborhood. We've got this unique position at Sunnyside where the majority of our congregation does not live next to our church in this neighborhood. And I don't think that's a weakness. I think that's an opportunity because God has distributed Sunnyside throughout the greater Ottawa area. He's placed you in neighborhoods, workplaces, schools, families, and communities all across our city. That means your field isn't just here, it's there too. Your field is wherever God's placed you, and when the coach says, "Hey, you're in, you're going in the game," we don't all have to play the same position, but you do have to get off the bench. Because if every Christian decided to say, "Someone else can do it," we'd be playing a man down. But the beautiful thing is that when you get on the field, you're not just helping the team, you also get something out of that too. Because you grow as a player. You learn, you develop, discover strengths that you didn't know you had. You learn to work with other people and learn to trust teammates. Better yet, you learn to listen to your coach. And you become better because you're actually participating. That's what discipleship looks like. So you don't become a mature follower of Jesus by sitting on the bench indefinitely. You grow by following him into the life he has called you to live. So yes, come on Sunday. Be fed by the conversation, by the word, worship, hear his word, receive from God, but don't stop there. Take what you receive on Sunday and get on the field Monday to Saturday. Because Sunday, as Pastor Drew has said this past few years, Sunday's the huddle. This is where we come to hear our orders from our coach, and we go on Monday to Saturday to play the game, and then we come back to the huddle. And we go again and we live it and we serve it. We pray, we love, we forgive, we make disciples, shine as a light. We carry the life of Christ into our homes, our workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods and communities. And when we come back together again, we come back not simply because we need to be fed again, but because we are a team and teams need one another. That's what it truly means to be a community of light and life. And the fourth and final play I want us to look at is a disciple makes disciples for the kingdom. There's one last part of our vision statement, that is for king and kingdom. So we don't follow Jesus simply so we can become a better version of ourselves. Jesus sends us. Look at Matthew 28. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." There's the king. Notice what Jesus is asking his disciples to do. He isn't asking, go and get people to attend church. Go and get them to listen to your pastor's sermon. He's saying, go make disciples. In other words, you've been discipled. Now go and disciple someone else. Help someone else follow Jesus. That's where discipleship shifts into disciple making. That's where I want to challenge each one of us this year, because here's the reality. You don't have to be a pastor to disciple someone else. You don't need a Bible college degree. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to have all the answers. You simply need to be willing to help someone take one next step toward Jesus. Maybe that's your child, a teenager, maybe a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. Maybe it's even the person sitting next to you in church today. Maybe it's someone who's been following Jesus for years but needs someone to walk alongside them. Because the question shouldn't be, though, in this is, can I disciple 50 people? If you can, fantastic. Don't make that your goal, though. Look instead at who is one person that God has placed in my life that I can help take the next step toward Jesus. That's discipleship, and that's disciple making. See, discipleship multiplies. When you build that relationship with them and help them get discipled, then they are going to go and disciple someone else, and that person is gonna, it's just going to continue to spiral and grow. Suddenly, the kingdom is advancing right before our eyes. So I want us to look at a different scoreboard as we begin this new ministry year. Change our mindset together on how we measure success. We aren't going to stop caring about attendance. We aren't going to stop caring about numbers because, as I said, you need those in order for the church to function. But I want us to actually look at our people encountering Jesus, because here's the reality. The attendance numbers are not the finish line. The scoreboard instead should ask, are people following the king? Are people experiencing the life of Jesus? Are people becoming more like him and living as light where God has placed them? And are people helping someone else follow Jesus? So when we talk about our church being a church that's a community of light and life for king and kingdom, we aren't talking about just a slogan. We're talking about a picture of what we're becoming, because that's the church we want to become. So here's my challenge to each of us as we kick off this new ministry year. Don't just sit in the stands watching the game. Don't just sit on the bench watching your fellow teammates play. Get in the game. Follow the king. Receive the life he offers. Become more like Jesus and live as light wherever he has placed you. Find your community and help someone, one person, take that next step towards following Jesus. Maybe for you, your next step this year is to join one of our life groups. Maybe it's to get involved in serving or getting connected to a ministry. Maybe it's finding that one person who can disciple you, or maybe it's finding one person you can disciple. But maybe it's simply just asking Jesus, where have you placed me, and what does it look like to be your light there? Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, maybe you've been sitting on the stands for a long time, haven't been following Jesus, and today you're going to get in the game in a different way. And you finally say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Because ultimately, that's where our discipleship journey begins. See, Jesus still says, follow me, and he still sends his followers to go and make disciples. So when we come to the end of our ministry year, say in June next year, I would love for us to come to our local church conference and be able to not just to say, oh, we had great attendance. We had solid programs. We booked our calendar with so many exciting opportunities for people to get involved. I want us instead to say, we were able to see people become more like Jesus. We learned to live as his people. We became a community of light and life. We followed Jesus as our king. We lived as his light wherever he placed us and helped other people follow him into his kingdom. That's the kind of ministry here I'm hoping for. Not just a bigger church, but a deeper church. Not just more people in the stands or the bench, but more disciples on the field. Not just more activities, more transformation. Not just people who know about Jesus, but people who actually follow Jesus, become like him, and help others follow him. Because here's the thing, the season's starting, whether you like it or not. The field's in front of us, wherever God's placed us. And our coach, who is also our king, has called us and said, time to get in the game. So what are you waiting for? Let's get in the game.